Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on the 25th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with some nice weather for Indiana in the coming days. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. In the news, a preview of the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast, reviewing recent storm damage, and new technology giving early signals of tar spot in a field. On Wednesday, the markets were mixed. Soybean futures sold off in back-and-forth action. Tom Fritz has market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Corn recovering well from the storms and another way to identify tar spot. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Two different storm systems that swept through Indiana in recent weeks left some fields ponded and had farmers a bit concerned about their corn.
Had some pictures sent to me. Actually had saw some of my neighbor's corn here in West Lafayette the day after that. And that was leaning pretty good.
That's Purdue Extension's Dan Corn Quinn on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today. Quinn says the first of the storms was the worst of the two.
The good thing is a lot of that crop really recovered in 2 to 3 days. You know, corn is pretty resilient to root lodging. And what I mean by root lodging is that we're not snapping that stalk. We're not having green snap or any issues like that. It's just more when that soil gets really, really moist, like 3-4 inches of rain, and then you have wind on top of it, right? That crop is just lodging basically at the roots, right? So the roots are coming out of the soil a little bit.
All in all, Quinn says the corn crop recovered really well.
You can notice some goosenecking out there, but you know, a lot of that crop, as long as it recovers in time for pollination, we should be okay. Shouldn't expect a whole lot of yield loss. But a lot of the crop that was in pollination at that time is standing. Looks really good. There's a little concern, you know, some of the sweet corn growers, some of the popcorn growers, that maybe had a little more instances of lodging. But for the most part, you know, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than what it actually was.
Reports from northern Indiana are that the moisture that came with those storms gave them just what they needed. Quinn expects excellent pollination and kernel numbers across the state, something we've grown accustomed to the past few years. Hear more from Quinn and Purdue's soybean Sean Castile in the Purdue Crop Chat, wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, we've all been there. You get sick, you turn kind of a purple color. Not fun, not cool. But imagine if your corn plant got sick and turned purple. That would be pretty cool. CJ Miller reports how a new collaboration happening right here in Indiana may soon help corn farmers identify the early stages of a major yield-robbing disease.
So we're really excited to announce a collaboration with Purdue, and so we want to see how our plants specifically respond to tar spot.
And that's Kyle Moeller, the founder and CEO of Insignum AgTech. He and his team are working with researchers from Purdue to test out the new traits from his company that give early indications of tar spot in corn simply by the plant turning purple.
So we're working with a couple of professors in the College of Agriculture to gather more data on that and study this in a really controlled way. This collaboration with Purdue is partly sponsored by the Indiana Corn Marketing Council. So we're really excited to have their support and the support of all the growers of Indiana.
Moeller says the idea has been with them for a long time.
The idea initially came because I grew up on a farm here in central Indiana, and my family farm started to use fungicides. And I was curious about why in the world would you spray a product if you don't know if you have that problem or not. But then I learned that by the time you see the problem, it's already too late. You have to be preventative in order to be effective at controlling for diseases. So I was like, okay, I understand that that's why you do things, but surely we can do better.
He adds that his background in plant biochemistry led to this breakthrough development.
And so I put a couple of pieces of background knowledge together about how plants react to diseases and about how they make pigments, and said, let's put these two things together to give plants the ability to tell us when they are sick, so that we can get a jump start on exactly when that problem starts.
Read more about the partnership between Insignum Ag Tech and Purdue University at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got a pretty nice forecast for you here as we talk about the next couple of days, today, tomorrow, even a Saturday, looking very, very nice. Here's what's going on today. We have cooler, drier air filtering down out of the Great Lakes. Moisture's gone. Humidity values are dropping dramatically. Temperatures are very pleasant. Now, I will say that today, at least through morning and midday, we probably will see some lingering showers trying to pop up across central and southern Indiana. This drier air is actively moving south right now. But overnight tonight through tomorrow, beautiful conditions. Saturday, again, low humidity, although temperatures start to climb. Sunday is when we really start to moisten things up. We're muggy, or at least getting that way through Sunday afternoon. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, definitely very warm, very muggy, and unstable. I think we have to allow for pop-up shower and thunderstorm action all the way from Sunday afternoon now, right on through Wednesday, combined over the multi-day stretch, probably a quarter to 1 inch at least. But I think daily coverage is going to be back closer to 60% or so. Plenty of holes. Remember, we had the same kind of scenario trying to come together this past week, and coverage just turned out to be a little bit weaker than what we were seeing early on. I think the second part of the week, we see less moisture, but we're not done, and humidity and heat doesn't go away. As a matter of fact, the first few days of August, sweltering, and I don't think the heat breaks into next week either. A large upper-level ridge is expanding over our neck of the woods. Any moisture that we see will be heat-based shower and thunderstorm action. In my mind, it looks like the best action for that is going to be up north in Michigan, where the cooler Great Lakes area kind of interacts with this hot, explosive air. I don't want to rule it out farther south, but I think the better moisture potential later next week is going to be in the northern part of the U.S. We'll just have to see how it comes together. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Gear up. Very nice weather here short term. Doesn't last. Make sure that you're ready for it when it gets muggy again. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. some seesaw action, and a mixed close for grains and oil seeds. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. And settlements are on the way. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it after the session from Tom Fritz at EFG Group in Chicago. Mixed markets with everything at one point in time working higher during the trading session. Only corn and wheat finish higher. Soybeans a sell-off. So back and forth in that market. Tom Fritz is here, EFG Group in Chicago. Let's start with soybeans. What happened there, Tom?
Well, I think what's going on in the soybean market, it's all about weather forecast going forward for the month of August. You know, in the last number of days, there's been a number of weatherheads out there. That's what I call the forecasters, weatherheads, that have been saying, you know, come August, certain parts of the Midwest are going to turn hot and dry. Well, in the last couple of days, it seems like that hot and dry forecast, it looks like it's going to stay west, northwest, meaning far west, northwest for the time being, not a whole lot of the, call it central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt are going to be impacted with this hot and dry. And remember, it's not expected to kick in until, sometime next week, depending upon where you are. So I think, the Monday, Tuesday rally, from Friday's low to Tuesday's high, what was it, a 51-cent rally in November beans, a little bit above backing and filling, I think, is justified as the trade waits and sees how is this weather forecast going to materialize. That's the problem when you trade weather. The forecasters are going to say 6 to 10 days out, this is what's going to happen. Well, what do you do in the meantime? Yeah, you're going to trade it a couple of days, but what are you going to do for the next 6 days waiting for this forecast to develop? And as they say, it's 6 to 10, it may not kick in until the 8th day. So I think that's what's happening here, is we've traded these bullish forecasts for once we get into the month of August. But what do you do in the meantime while you're waiting for them to occur? And so I think that's what got into the soybean market today, as well as some of these forecasts being tempered a little bit, meaning the hot and dry may not shift as far east as originally thought. Corn, what are you going to do with a penny higher corn market? You know, especially when it's 5 3/4 off its high. I'm not impressed. Are you? We've got a pretty good corn crop. This hot and dry, it may have some impact on the far western, northwestern corn crop, but the majority of the corn crop looks to be in pretty darn good shape. And you listen to these weather guys, what rain is going to be out there goes over the top, meaning of this high pressure ridge that sits out west. Well, when it comes down into eastern Iowa, good portion of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. So you're seeing a majority of the Corn Belt that may not get impacted by this call for hot and dry. We're under the impression that a good majority of the corn crop has successfully pollinated. The latent bulls are going to say, well, now we have to get into kernel filling. So rain's important. I'm like, okay. But you're trading a forecast that may not come to fruition for another 6 to 8 days. What do you do in the meantime? The wheat market, Minneapolis wheat had been your upside leader up until yesterday. And you had the Wheat Quality Council tour out in southern and east central North Dakota. And they're finding the best yields that since their tour started back in 1994. That's a hard one to overcome. So I think in that regard, your Minneapolis wheat was down a little bit. There's still going to be spring wheat impacted by the Canadian prairies. This call for hot and dry is going to impact the Canadian prairies. And if you look on your maps where the Canadian prairies are, where the majority of the wheat is grown up there, you're talking Western Canada. You're talking not a lot of Alberta, but a lot of Saskatchewan, I shouldn't say not, Saskatchewan and Alberta, not a lot in Manitoba. So, you know, I think they're just trying to disseminate all that. So why does Chicago get a bid? Well, Chicago had been the weak sister when the market had been trying to rally. So I think it's just, you know, intermarket spreading that was the big feature in the wheat market. Personally, you know, the wheat market's not going to go anywhere unless European wheat takes off, and that's contingent on Russian wheat rallying. And right now, Russian wheat is pretty much sitting on its lows. So, you know, where are we going to go? We're not going anywhere as long as that's the case. So going forward, yeah, we're going to play a weather game for the month of August, and we're pretty much just going to wait and see how these forecasts materialize.
Market analysis from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Now, settlements from the Wednesday trading session. September corn ends up, but just a penny and a quarter higher, 403 and three quarters. Dees 418 up three quarters. March up a penny at 432 and a quarter. And down in beans, August 11, 6 and a half lower. September 11 and a half down. And November down 11 and a half, going to 1064. A gain of four and a quarter for September wheat, 547. Meats mostly higher, quiet in the cattle futures market though. October 186.27, 15 cents higher. And October lean hogs up 90 cents at 78.02. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.